forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for the folks that are in class today. And Lord, we want to pray for the ones that can't be here and like to be. Lord, we pray that you be with John as he helps us study this morning. Lord, we'll be with the preacher as he brings the message today. Lord, we thank you for the smiles and the good hearts today. Lord, just be with us throughout this day. Just help us, Lord. We thank you for all you've done and all you will do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right. As I said, Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we're going to take a look at verse number 5 today. Verse number 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Notice the wording there. The wording, how it reads, is the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Our hope is not going to heaven. Okay? Our hope is in heaven. It's the same thing as if you, I don't know where you shop or if you do, if you go to Walmart, you put something on layaway. All right, now you have something there that's waiting for you. It's not that you go to Walmart and that's what you're looking forward to. You're looking forward to whatever you have on layaway. It's waiting for you. It's laid up for you. And your expectation is when you go there is not the place itself, but something that's in that place. And so there's a place called heaven. But our hope is in heaven, not heaven itself. And we hear, and we may be guilty of it too, especially when we first get saved. Oh, I can't wait to go to heaven. The streets of gold, the jasper walls, and all that good stuff. And again, that's side benefits. It's not what we're looking for. So the positive side of it is the hope that is in heaven. Now, the negative side of it is that our hope is not in or on the earth. Now, we can enjoy life, and you should, especially if you're saved. You should enjoy life. Yes, there's going to be trials, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be pain, but we should enjoy life because we look forward to our hope, which is in heaven. Again, as Christ was on the cross, he didn't look forward to the cross. He looked beyond that so that he could have a church and have the family, you and I, that are born again. So that's the good part. So our hope is not on or in this earth. We should enjoy it. But we don't. Many times there's things that happen. Supposing you come down with stage 4 cancer, you're not going to jump with joy. Oh, good God, I got cancer. But our attitude, and you know, I'm going to be held responsible for what I say. If it should ever happen to me, I want to be able to say, Lord, use this for your honor and glory. People I can reach that I haven't been able to reach before. Lord, don't let me get down in the mouth. And people will say, well, yeah, then you just that much sooner to go home to be with the Lord. Yeah, but the stuff you've got to go through. You ever lived with anybody that's had cancer? The pain that they go through, the chemo, what that does to you. So it's not always roses and bright lights. It's going to be times where we're down, but that's okay too. So you're not going to enjoy this life all the time. Supposing because of your faith you're in a prison camp being tortured, you're going to enjoy that? No, we're not. But we can get through it because of the Lord. Supposing, like a friend of mine in DeLand, he was probably in his 40s, found out he had leukemia, maybe an advanced case of leukemia. You're going to rejoice over that? I know the spiritual ones will say, yeah, you rejoice in everything. It doesn't work that way. You know that because you've been through some stuff, whatever it is. It may not be that extreme, but we need to continue to look towards the Lord and look to how we can serve Him best. So if we get to live in good health, you know, you get up in your 70s, 80s, you're in decent health. Praise the Lord for that. You'd be thankful for that. That's a blessing, but it's not our hope. Because every Christian doesn't realize that. every Christian that's... come on in, you're not going to make any noise. Oh, and he's got a bad back. I hate to see him bend over like that. But anyway, every Christian isn't going to be in their 70s and 80s in good health. It's a blessing. Thank God for it if you are. But it's not going to happen. And if you get to live a comfortable economic and financial situation throughout your life, or especially in your older years, that's a blessing, but it's not our hope, because every Christian isn't living in a financial security position. And if we get our liberty and freedom in this country that we do have, we still do have, and I wouldn't want to be in any other country. Not yet, anyway. Count it a blessing, but not every believer does live in freedom and have liberty. You go to some of the other countries. You know, there is something that is in province. There's something awaiting every single believer, but it is not here, and it is not now that we can experience that. It's not in this world. It's in the world to come. This hope is laid up for every saint, and it's in heaven, as we read, and we heard about this. Where have we heard before, as the verse says, we heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. So we get the truth, and we'll look at the word of truth if we get time today or maybe next week. The word of truth is the word of God, which you know. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So that's where we get the truth. And here's where it gets real tricky. Because we all know and we've heard that, and we've been taught different things since we got saved. But if our hope is laid up for us in heaven, it is something we heard that is part of the gospel. So we pay attention to words in the Bible. As I said earlier, it's not the gold streets, it's not the jasper walls, it's not... you know, floating on a cloud or being able to travel here or there to some other planet as we want to. But it's referenced in the gospel. And the gospel is a sum total of all truth concerning the person of who? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then how does this relate to our hope and define for us what our hope is? The hope, as I said, our hope is not heaven, but is in heaven. a hope that is not earthy, but is universal. It's a universal hope shared by every believer. So as you look at Titus chapter 2, and you can mark this down or you can turn there, Titus 2, verse 11 through 14, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So there's no excuse for a person being lost. The grace of God appeared to all men. If a person dies lost, it's their own fault. Verse 12, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." There's a lot in those verses. Mm-hmm. And our blessed hope is a who, as we found out in the verse. It is not a what, it is a who. Now, who is that blessed hope? Very easily, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not the sum of it all. We are saved by grace through faith in verse 11. That's another thing I want to hit on sometime. People, you'll hear the term, "we're saved by grace." That's only partial true. We're saved by grace through faith. Without that faith, you can have all the grace and you won't be saved. But it's grace through faith. Again, pay attention to words. Pay attention to what the verses say. So what is saving grace supposed to accomplish in our lives? Look at that verse again. Denying ungodliness. While we're here in this life, that grace should accomplish in our lives, we deny ungodliness. But nobody does that all the time. You look at your own life. Do we do that? Do we deny ungodliness all the time? Denying worldly lust. We don't do that all the time. We should live righteously and godly. How many Christians actually do that all the time, 100% of the time? Not many, if any at all. So there is a blessed hope and glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Then you look at verse 14, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." So we covered iniquity, sin, and transgression. To purify us from all iniquity, that's even the thought of sinning. And as you draw closer to Christ and you get into the Word, sin becomes more of an allergy for you. You don't want any part of it because you know what happens. It'll bring you down. So it's possible that our blessed hope has something to do with the total cleansing and purification of our heart, our souls, and our minds, and our bodies, which ends up, we live a so-called godly life. And then in Romans 8, if you want to turn there, we'll be there for a few verses. Romans 8, you look at verse 22. And it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That's a result of sin in this world. And then verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Now, it's not wrong for someone that's in pain all the time, and, you know, any of us, Floyd, my wife, Danny's wife, any of us that are experiencing pain to want to be rid of that, to get our new body. Nothing wrong with that. But that shouldn't be our main thing that we're looking forward to. We should be looking forward to meeting, seeing, being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we keep that as our goal, these other side things, it's like the side benefit when you get saved. You're not saved from hell, technically. That's a side benefit. You're saved from sin, not from hell. Not going to hell is a side benefit of being saved from sin. So we keep our priorities right, looking forward to the Lord, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And that'll be great. That'll be great. You get some of these super spiritual people that say, oh, I can't wait to get called out of here. And that's fine. We should be looking for the Lord, as the Bible tells us. But you have loved ones here. You have people you're concerned for. You don't want that calling out to take place, the rapture, and see them die and go to hell. It's kind of a selfish thing when we do that. Yes, I want to see the Lord, but there's people here I want to see saved. So you got to have a balance there. And then in it says we're saved, but we are groaning. We're saved, but we're waiting for something. We're redeemed, but we are looking forward to our redemption. It's something we haven't received yet, the redemption. And then verse 24, Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? It's like you're sitting at the table, and guys are guilty of this more so than the women. And, gee, I hope I get ice cream cake tonight. And there's ice cream cake, a piece of it, sitting right in front of you. That's not hope. That's there. That's visible. That's seeable. That's touchable. That's eatable. If it's realized, it's not a hope. So hope is something I don't yet fully possess. But if I have great confidence, I do have great confidence that I'm going to get it. And I have great confidence. I know the Word of God is true, that my hope is in heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to see Him one day. I have a great desire for that day. But when that day does come, I will realize that hope, and so will you. Now, verse 25, Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. That's how we're to wait for that hope, with patience. Patience, and then applying the Word of God to our lives, doing what we're supposed to do according to the Word of God. And then verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to this purpose. Now, you'll hear people quote that verse, all things work together for good for the them that love God. You can't claim that for everything, because you're not taking in the rest of the verse. To them that are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you're called according to God's purpose, that means you have to be saved. And then, to them that love God. How many of us really love God? We know what He's done for us. We know what's waiting for us, what He has waiting for us. But how many really love God? If you really love somebody, you're going to do everything in your power to please that person. Husband and wife is the prime example. You know, a husband is to do everything that he possibly can to make his wife happy. Side benefit of that is his life becomes happy. Same with the wife. If she's really a godly woman, she's going to do everything according to the Word of God, and it's just a machine that works together. The gears just come together. You're going to have problems? Of course. There was one couple when I was in Florida. The guy says, well, we never had an argument. You're either a big lawyer or you're the biggest sissified, trying to think of a decent name I can use. But anyway, well, you know, yeah, that's one.
Democrat.
But don't tell me you're married for 20 years and you never had an argument. Maybe you never had an argument you won, but you had arguments throughout the years. So we desire to be with the Lord. And then verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestination, Calvinism. Continue on. Predestined what, once you got saved? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So that's what we're predestinated to. Be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, you're predestinated as a believer, them he also called, so you are called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. He also glorified. So there's a lot there. We're predestinated once you get born again. What are we predestinated to? To become to the image, be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he called us, he justified us, and we're also glorified. You're seated in heavenly places already. You know that, Ephesians. The moment I trusted Christ, I was justified, as were you. I was predestined. What's my predestination? To be just like Christ. Now, the question is, as you look at yourself, are you? Are you like Christ? Am I like Christ? What is your hope? My hope is that I will be just like Jesus Christ. Do you ever think? Someone asks you, ever think you'll be just like the Lord? Not in this life, I won't. I still have to deal with the desires of my flesh, what we call the old nature. But my hope is laid up for me in heaven. When Christ shall appear, what is he going to do? He is going to take us to a place, although we're not looking forward to a place. He is going to take you and take me to a place where we are fully changed, transformed to that, so that we are just like the Lord Jesus Christ. No sin in us at all. Now, you can argue that we're all going to be 33-year-old males and all this, but that, you know, keep that for a side note. We're going to be like him. That's without sin. We're going to be glorified as Christ is glorified. That's what we should be looking for. That's how our mind should be thinking. Not, oh good, no more pain. That's a side benefit, not the primary hope that we have. That's our hope. So Colossians is written so that you and I might be secure and confident in your salvation. Let me explain. Since I've gotten saved, it didn't take me long to get a handle on eternal security by reading the Bible. knowing that I can't lose my salvation because it's not mine, it's the Lord's anyway. So the question will come up, I'm saved. Oh, well, how did you get saved? I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what did that do for you? You're talking to somebody, and you tell them it made me a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. My sins are washed away. The blood of Christ, Colossians 1:14, washes my sins away. I have redemption through His blood. All of these things took place when I got saved. Oh, yeah? What are you trying to say, that you're better than me, that you're perfect? And no, not at all. Not at all. But I have an absolute certain hope that I will be one day. I will be perfect. I'll be perfected when I'm like Christ, when we're taken out of here. See, I'm not going to heaven because I don't sin anymore. I'm going to heaven so that I won't sin anymore. A life free of sin is not realized here in this world, in this life, but it will be realized by every saint. So what is our hope? To be like Christ. What is our hope? To be free from even the slightest influence of sin in every portion of our life. Wouldn't that be great? No more those thoughts come into your mind. No more the temptations to do certain things. Amen. We'd be free of that.
Yes.
Free of that. That's better than having a perfect body in this life. But the perfect body comes after we're taken out of here. So that'll be realized when the Lord appears. Titus 2:1 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And then we'll go back to Colossians 1. Next week we'll pick it up there. But we at least we learned this morning what the blessed hope is.
Amen.
And it's looking towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Being free of sin, no longer the desire to sin and fall short. That'll be great. That'll be great. Could you imagine that? Me going down the road and not getting angry at people. These stupid idiots. Why don't they learn how to drive? I want. You know, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're a preacher. You're a teacher. And you act like that. I'm thinking out loud. Don't bother me. Or you're next. You're going out that door. Wait till we get over the river. All right. On that note, Danny, how about praying for us?
Father, what a treasure you've given us in your word. Father, we just, sometimes it just takes our breath away to think the blessings we have in our Christian life, to look around and then to just to realize what little we know and how good it makes us feel, Father, and what a glory it is to realize what ahead of us that we can't even visualize, can't even comprehend. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for this day. We look forward to our next getting together that we can go over your word and glean some more of these pearls and these diamonds that you've got in your word for us, Father. We just pray for the folks around here that need a touch from on high. Brother Floyd and the unspoken request for the bear, for Miss Nora, all the folks, Father, that just need to touch on high. And Miss Janie back there do it as well. So, Father, we just turn this day over to you and ask you to have your will and way in our lives. And we ask, Father, that you be with the spirit of the church in a real way that people might see Jesus today. And we can look forward to the wonderful things that are going to happen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.